Easy Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. My name is Javon Adams, and that right dude right next to me, he is not only a man who played professional baseball, but he also played in the National Football League for the first Super Bowl-bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. He's also an author and a motivational speaker, and he can get down on the grill as well. Ed Smith, what is good, man?
Just chilling, man. You're adjusting to life after football, man. It's a slow grind.
Yes, it is life after football, and since, matter of fact, we got to start getting into some of the stuff with the Cardinals in terms of picks and needs and all that good stuff. So it never ends, though, with the season. It never ends, but do you still feel a sense of loss?
Yeah, because we don't have that, you know, like those games on, you know, you forget, you know, every Thursday, Sunday, Monday, you know, at the end of the season, Saturday. I mean, golly. They just over-indate us with us with it. But then when it goes away, it's like, you know, somebody trying to quit smoking. You know, we need a patch, some type of patch or something.
You fool. So we do this thing three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure you tell a friend and tell a friend about what we have going on here. But let's get into it. So this is going to be a little bit more of a college-heavy episode of Easy Sports Talk Show podcast. Let's start with the NCAA, the college football playoff. So yesterday, the format was kind of announced. The 5+7. And I wanted your thoughts on it. And particularly, there's a certain school that just always seems to just always be around, just always around. But the 5+7 format, essentially, the 5+7 format, it almost guarantees that either somebody from the SEC, the Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, a spot in the playoffs, with that other spot being maybe for an independent, quite possibly. But if an independent gets in, like such as a Notre Dame, that they would not be guaranteed one of those top four spots, because those are for the conferences, because those conferences, the top four rated schools get a bye, and then of course, the other seven kind of go the way it was. What's interesting to me is that Notre Dame always just seems to be just, oh, everybody, oh, plus Notre Dame, they always get in the mix some way, shape, or form. They're always in there. And the second thing is that the Pac-12, the Pac-2 from the Pac-12, they just always seem to hang around. I mean, they're trying to just claw on. Don't forget us. I mean, we're still a conference. Y'all ain't a conference, but they're still getting some of the almost like the benefits of being a conference, even though it's down to the last two. And there, I think it's next year when it comes to football, they're going to be playing some games. There's a two-year window that they're going to be doing things with the Mountain West Conference. But just your thoughts on this, this 5+7 format.
Well, you know, it's a shock to the system, because we're just jumping from four all the way to 12. Yeah. I think if they would have gradually done it, set something up where they went from 4 to 8, or 4 to 6, then 4 to 8, then 12, just over the course of, you know, just a couple of years. So just give us time to adjust, because we're going from a system where almost nobody got into, everybody and their mama's getting in now. And it's going to be, you know, I know the first four teams get byes, you know, and then they're going to, so everybody else, I heard yesterday, everybody outside of the top four, you're going to have to win four games to win a national championship. Are we taking into account that these kids are supposedly still technically student athletes? Now we're going to tack on, you know, four games for some of these teams. You know, they're going to be playing NFL schedules for the most part, traveling across the country, you know, now that they're with all this conference mix-up and everything, all through the season, you know, going from California to New Jersey to play Rutgers, you know, UCLA, Rutgers, stuff like that. And then at the end of it, you know, it's going to be a four-game, you know, run to try to get to the championship game. And I mean, for me, it's just, we're going to be really watered down. When we see this first edition of the top 12, when we get to schools at the back end of that 12, and then we know we're going to always have, because now we're going to have 12, 13 through 15 or 16 are going to be griping instead of 5 through 8 or 9 or whatever it normally is. So, man, get ready for it, because before it was like an honor and a privilege to get into the Final Four. Now every coach is going to be able to say, well, we made the playoffs last year. You know, so I'm like, okay, so it's going to be so crazy, man. And then we still have to deal with the NIL, deal with the transfer portals. College football is found its way into a very bad situation, bro.
We're going to get into that NIL thing in a second, because that's I've heard some comments from the president are interesting. But you mentioned something in terms of, aren't they supposed to be student athletes? But here's the thing. For the longest time, what Division II, where Josh Allen came from, wherever that school, I mean, so you think of those Division II, I think they do it right, for lack of a better term, when it comes to the playoffs, because they get it done quick. They don't do this, wait for 3 weeks and then do, and then four more weeks and all this stuff. They do it right in that way. So at least you're not extending it and taking these students and they never get to see home because they're playing football all the time. I mean, there's something, but yes, you're playing college football, but yeah, to your point, you should be, in quotation marks, you should be a student as well.
Well, I'm wondering, have they let out the schedule of, in terms of when the games are going to be played? Because if we're tacking on all these games, they're going to be toward the end of January, just like the NFL at this point. If you're tacking on all these additional games, if you're not starting till around New Year's or out, you know, even right before, you're talking about finishing the season at the end of January. I don't know. It just seems like very poorly thought out and poorly executed. And hey, we're going to make all this money, and we all know that's what it's about. It's all about the money.
Yeah, what's the money look like, and we'll figure the rest out. But yeah, that's the way it kind of goes. So he is Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. This is the Easy Sports Talk Show podcast. We do it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure you tell a friend. But okay, so you mentioned this again. You mentioned NIL and the transfer portal. So came across an article, NCAA president Charlie Baker, who's just been on the job for maybe a little under a year, says he's not in favor of federal laws that would place new limits on the way college athletes transfer between schools. Essentially what he said was, and I'm looking for the quote, he says, quote, "I've had conversations with a bunch of coaches who didn't walk out on their contracts. But one of the things I hear from kids when I talk to them about this issue is coaches walk out on their contracts. What about us?" End quote. And those are kind of interesting. He said that it was unfair for so many coaches year after year, where there was I think about basketball a lot, but this happens in college football as well. It happens across all sports. When you think about college, but basketball and football come to mind, is that coaches will leave. You make a little bit of a run in the NCAA playoffs. Oh, I'm out. I'm going to the next school. And the coaches are, I mean, the kids are sitting there saying, well, wait a minute. And then the next coach comes in and says, we don't want you here. You're kicked out. But then they're left kind of blowing in the wind. It was interesting. It's almost as if, I remember my grandmother, my maternal grandmother would say, when me and my cousins were fighting and she didn't come in and try to break it up, she'd say, all right, well, y'all just go ahead and handle it yourselves. And we'll see. You'll see not to mess with Javon. You'll see not to mess with Corey. You keep on messing with somebody, you'll see what happens. And that's almost what Charlie Baker is doing, is saying, y'all go ahead and figure that out amongst yourselves. It's your fault. You hit him in the head first.
Yeah, no, the NCAA and the presidents and they're running scared right now because they don't know what to do. And what do you do when you don't know what to do? You reflect, you deflect, I should say. And, you know, hey, that's not our problem. We know we don't have nothing to do with that, you know. And what was wrong when this issue came up, with the NIL? There's no way you just unleash it. You should have had a plan put together. It's got to be used for this. A student has to be this to be eligible for it. We're not going to use it as a recruiting tool. And then, just unleash it. Between the transfer portal and NIL, they just threw it out there. And this is the NCAA's thing. They never wanted responsibility for anything, Jay. All they wanted to be there is as a shield, pretend shield for the NFL, and we're going to make this money and give ourselves titles and rule over stuff when it's not sticky. If it gets sticky, then, hey, that's the school's decision. Let them deal with that. And then when NIL and transfer portal kind of just was thrown in their face, well, that sounds good. Yeah, the kids can go make money. Yeah, and we don't have to worry about paying them. And then all of a sudden it was the wild, wild west, and they don't want to take any responsibility for it. And as far as the transfer portal, same thing. It's just, man, I'm telling you, I don't know. One, I've never understood what the NCAA was there for.
Yeah.
And now that, they have an opportunity to enforce or direct or make some changes, or, you know, it's like, nah, like, you know, the blackjack deals, but now we out, hands up, we good, you know, y'all handle that. And it's just a debacle, man. And it's crazy because it's affecting sports all across the board, bro. I mean, it's from, you know, you think about this too, Jay. You're talking about the two major sports are basketball and football. But we know those rule the rules for any college is making a little bit of change, right? But it's affecting all the – now with all this college alignment and stuff like that, it's affecting kids and their scholars who are on scholarship all the way down to hockey and gymnastics and, you know, whatever. They're all getting punished by this. I don't know why they didn't just say, okay, basketball – and football. Let's just make two major conferences, leave all the other sports alone, leave them in their, you know, conferences, and let's just not mess with them, and, you know, and just be done with it. And even with the NIL, they could have came up with something to, you know, to mitigate that. But like I said, they've just left the kids and us as fans with our behinds just hanging in the wind, man, because I just can't figure it out. You know what it's doing, Jay? It's taking away from the joy of even watching the sports.
This is true.
College sports. Yeah. And it's going to turn a lot of fans off. I mean, I watch my Tar Heels for forever, but any other sports, like I used to be a huge college football buff, you know, get excited about college football every time it came around. I could care less about it now because of the whole, I mean, just the way it's all set up, I care less about college football right now. So they're losing somebody like me who was a devout fan for a long time. And I'm sure there's others who are, you know, they'll still root for their school, but they're not going to be, like, so invested in it where they'll watch anything, like, on a Saturday, where they'll post up and watch college football from noon all through the day. Now they'll peek on their school. To heck with the rest of it. They're losing people, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, again, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but it makes me think about the lower end schools that recruit somebody who's a project, so to speak, but then they really start to come into their own. Then you're worried about that student saying, no, I'm going to transfer somewhere else right away because somebody's offering, I don't know, whatever the NIL money would be in that particular case. But then it makes it so hard for coaches, and I guess it is what it is, I suppose, that where the job requirements change. But, and this is the Pollyanna in me coming out, is that my 4 years in college, well, four plus, but anyway, my years in college, they were formative years. I had fun. I wasn't worried about business in the sense of where am I going to this school? I'm here at XYZ College and I'm going to ABC University next year because I got to make sure my NIL is right. And yeah, there's a certain time where you have to come to grips with what you're going to do for your career and try to earn money and start to get on that pace. But you're taking that little time in life, those little years in your life where you're trying to figure it out, and you're figuring it out on a grand stage with maybe tens and tens of thousands of dollars at stake. And it's going to be interesting to see how I'm sure they'll do stories about kids 5-10 years from now that really regret doing all that jumping, because in the end they either didn't get their degree or they didn't build the connections that they could have built at one particular university, or even two, because I'm not opposed to them to the transferring, but not every year. And because I think that's what waters it down and dilutes it a whole lot.
Yeah. And I think we're coming to the end of the whole COVID situation, so that should hopefully help a little bit. But that was a straight debacle with, I mean, you got guys hanging around in college, like they're getting doctorates, man, you know, 6 and 7 years. Somehow they found the loopholes, and hopefully that comes to an end, and then that'll taper down some of this, because some of these kids, obviously they've graduated. They don't. I was like, what are you going to class for? Basket weaving. You know, hanging, or I don't even know what they're doing at this point, because they're basically just athletes with nothing to do other than play a sport, you know, and that's kind of just, you know, that's, I hope we're weeding that portion of it out, and where these we'll get back to, you know, the true freshmen or one redshirt year and stuff like that. Because with the additional years tacked on here, we've seen some of these kids take advantage of it. And why wouldn't you if you can, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just diluted the pool. You know, you got to think it's affected some of the younger kids, too, because with all these older kids sticking around and transferring, that's taking up scholarship spots. And spot in, you know, places on rosters and stuff like that. So hopefully it'll balance itself out here soon, because it's been a rough run.
Lee, I'll leave you with this and get your thoughts on this. In the article, again, it's from ESPN, but in the article, it mentions that as we suppose that, gosh, it's a higher number of kids that are transferring, and so this is a big trend. But he says, quote, do they transfer more than they did 10 years ago? Yes. Do they transfer more than their peers who aren't student athletes? No. Baker said they actually transfer less than students who aren't student athletes do, and kids just transfer more because they have more information, more data, and they're more important about a lot of things. So, end quote. And I think that here's the thing. So I think there's you have to draw a line on what the difference is. The difference between I went to a big university, damn, it's so hard, I can't do this no more, I'm gonna go back to my little I'm gonna go to my little college in my town, boom, transfer, right? Or I'm going and the money ran out, I can't go to school no more, so I'm not going to school. I think there are a lot of different things that happen with kids in that way that the non-student athletes. So I think that's kind of apples and oranges if I look at it just that way. But yeah, they got more data, and sometimes more data can lead to more confusion because you're thinking I'm doing right because of what the data says, and the data might tell you to transfer, but dang man, you're in your fourth school, you're in your fourth school in 4 years, dog. Don't you want to put down some roots just a little bit, and you become a sniper.
Well, I think you and I touched on this many, many, many weeks ago. There's a forgotten list of kids that enter the portal and never find a home.
Man.
I think there was a number we had, and at one of these days I'll go back to our run sheets and find it. But there's a number of a higher than I thought percentage of kids who jump into the portal, and then everybody's like musical chairs. Everybody runs and jumps, and then there's like a whole bunch of kids that don't have a landing spot. So those are the kids that are forgotten, and it's almost like you see those cartoons.
Land of Misfit Toys.
Yeah, you get lost, you know, Land of Misfit Toys, or you get caught up in the Matrix somewhere, and you're just hanging out there just, you know, with nothing, you know. Yeah. So there's all types of stories of, you know, kids like that, and that's, you know, those kids are forgotten. We never see them again, or like I said, they lose a year of eligibility. I don't even know how it works.
Somebody tell you to just somebody trying to give you advice, your partner saying, giving you advice, or some agent. And then when the music stops and you left without a seat, and they say, oh, my bad, I thought. Yeah. All right, have a good one. We'll see you later. Yeah. And they out, and they doing their thing, and you are left out in the cold. But yeah, that man is Ed Easy Smith. You can go to easysportstalk.com, easysportstalk.com, and keep in touch with what we got going on. Make sure you tell a friend if you're listening in podcast form. You can also go to our YouTube page and subscribe there at The Easy Sports Talk Show, The Easy Sports Talk Show. And again, you can go to easysportstalk.com as well. And so until next time, as we always like to say around this time, you can.